Hello, welcome to the Gab and Jules show. No Gab Marcotti today, so look who is in town. Hello, Don, my friend.
Partner.
You okay?
I'm good.
Well, we've got a big show today because a lot of things happened all around Europe. Bayern lost again, 30 feet in a row. We had some really good stuff in Italy, in Spain. Real Madrid didn't win, but Barca did. But we will start in England. There was a massive game, of course, on Saturday, late afternoon between Manchester City and Chelsea at the Etihad.
Yeah.
They finished 1-1, Don.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us expected City to kind of cruise through victory, considering 100%. Their form, 10 wins in a row, and Chelsea kind of patchy season, let's call it that way. What happened?
Well, my prediction was horrendous. That's what happened. I predicted City to win by more than three.
Oh, wow.
I honestly thought, after seeing Chelsea quite a few times this season, they were horrendous against Liverpool. They picked up in the cup. But I didn't see that performance from Chelsea. I thought the tactics from Pochettino, to be fair, was quite good. Palmer high on the right, Sterling high on the left, trying to push their fullbacks deep. But City didn't play. Chelsea, I thought, were great in terms of their tactics, how they approached the game, loads of energy. And I think after the game, Pep was furious. I don't think at the pens and the shout. I think it was more how his team played. And give Chelsea a little bit of credit, even though I thought City was so much better second half. They could have won 5 or 6 second half.
Yeah, and we will talk about Haaland missing some chances, which is very unlike him, but there's two big headers that he missed. I agree with you on the Chelsea. For me, it was maybe their best performance because it kind of lasted longer than usual. Usually they have 10 good minutes or 20 or maybe 30, maybe just one half. This time it felt like the first half was really good. The second half, they kind of
defensive.
Yeah, they protected their lead, which you have to do that, I guess, at the Etihad. But I thought City moved the ball quite slowly, not so much vertically. And I thought it was interesting to hear Rodri after the game saying we were scared to play through the middle and expose ourselves to their counter attack.
So we kind of played,
why? Because, you know, Doku was pretty ineffective on one side against Malogusto.
Yeah. Sometimes, Jules, when you're playing those sort of games, sometimes when you see Pochettino and you see the opposition, you see the lineups come in and you flip chart and you see the individuals, you've got a fair idea where they're going to play. But sometimes, not second guessing, because Pep knows everything about any individual and any team and formations, but it does take you as a player sometimes 5, 10, 15 minutes to try and problem solve.
Yeah.
So you might see the opposition come in, you might think they're playing a certain system, and all of a sudden you're quite surprised how high Palmer and Sterling were and the energy of Conor Gallagher. So that's something you figure out on the pitch. It can take you a little bit of time to get into your stride and then to get flowing and play again and, like I said, problem solve. But it took them longer than normal. Normally a Pep team, they'll see something different and they'll adjust and they'll find a way early on. The players on the pitch are intelligent. Rodri's super intelligent, isn't he? The way he problem solves and he can find gaps and plug holes himself. So maybe they just completely got took by surprise and it took them longer and it took them for 45 to actually adjust. So half time you felt as though Man City, you don't say it often, actually needed a team talk.
Yeah.
They needed instructions from the manager.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it seems like defensively, the defensive record is not too bad compared to where Liverpool and Arsenal are, for example, if you compare, or even I think where they were last season. It still seems to me that it's actually quite easy to create chances and they don't
against them.
I think Ederson has the worst saving ratio in the whole of the big five
leagues.
It's
never been a secret though, is it?
55% or something like that.
It's never been a secret how to play against Man City.
No, true.
It's just how you do it.
Yeah, but usually they control spaces really well when they don't have the ball.
Yeah.
So whether it's a high line or not so much high line, they can control where the ball goes or before the pass is made. But I thought on Saturday they didn't control spaces at all. It was easy for Gusto on the right-hand side and Palmer.
Yeah.
Like Jackson had space.
If you're brave enough when you play against Man City, it's a little bit like Liverpool when you play against Liverpool, more so last year Liverpool, where if you're brave enough to try and set traps for Man City, it's easy sitting here, but when you're on the pitch and you're ground level to try and do it, it's really hard. But you've got to have really energetic players.
Yeah.
And then as soon as either Man City give the ball away or you win the ball back, the ball is then over the top. It's down the sides because the fullbacks play high up the pitch. So you can try and expose. You've seen that, the Champions
League. Yeah, yeah.
You can try and expose them if you're brave enough and if you're good enough. Not many teams can do it. But when you get it right, you can try and get some chances. As I said, it's not easy to try and implement that idea. It's easy to have it because City dominate the ball. And as you said, they create overloads left through the middle, either on the right side as well. So I think from a Chelsea point of view, it gives the fans a little bit of hope. If they can keep playing like that,
definitely,
they've got a chance in future games, because there's been some games this season where they've looked a shambles.
Yeah,
the cup games, the Villa game especially, I thought they looked great in the FA Cup.
But then the first half against Palace,
Liverpool,
which at least Villa was after that.
Yeah,
but after Villa to go to Crystal Palace and have the first half that they had, which was shambolic, was
awful.
What about Erling Haaland then? Because he should have scored at least two. There's two headers.
Yeah.
There may be a third one that Petrovic saved that is slightly deflected. There's one where he's not on his toes, not aware.
The easiest chance was the one, do you remember, I think it was late on in the game when the ball got whipped in and he went for a power header.
Yeah.
It should have been a glancing header.
Yeah, the Bruin cross.
Yeah, what I would say is never write him off. What he is a player at the minute is a player that's just a bit rusty. I think you see that when the camera panned on him towards the end of the game and he was just sort of staring into thin air. And he's staring into thin air thinking, how have I missed those chances today? I'm better than that. It's a man that's come back from injury. He's a little bit rusty. He's a little bit snatchy. You can tell he's snatchy in his finishes because he's adding power.
Yeah.
Because normally when you're confident, you might, you know, flick a little header into the corner or take an extra touch and make sure you're accurate. When you're not super confident, he is in his own mentality in the way he approaches the games. But when you miss chances, it does hurt you a little bit. You start to add more power. So you can never criticise him because you know next game against Brentford, he'll probably wrap in three or four.
Yeah.
But you saw the player at the weekend that was just a little bit snatchy. He's desperate.
Right, let's continue on Haaland a little bit, Don, because I do think that in his old game, and as amazing as he is, maybe in the air, that's where he can improve. I think he only scored three goals this season in the air. Mm-hmm. And he had 14, I looked it up last night, 14 attempts, so 14 headers, let's call it that. And only three have gone in. Maybe they were not all as easy as the one against Chelsea. And when we say easy, it looks easy.
Yeah.
You've been in that position. It's not that easy. But at that level and that amount of talent, you expect him still to score.
Yeah.
The first one is quite high, but still he's in a really good position to put it back down. And the second one, as you said, it seemed that he tried to hit it up when he should have hit it down. It's just, you talked about rustiness, which is fair. Maybe he's not even fully match fit. Maybe he's not even fully fit, to be honest. But that rustiness could go very quickly, right?
Oh, one goal. Strikers and footballers in general, we thrive on being confident. Something you can't measure. We've got all the data these days, the analysis of distance covered and forward passes and unbelievable amount of data. What you can never, ever try and get hold of from a footballer's point of view is a player's confidence.
Yeah.
You can't measure it. When you're confident, you do things instinctively.
Even the best in the world, because that's what he is.
Absolutely, because he is the best in the world. But you can see that he's snatching because he's either half a yard short on his fitness, which then you just need minutes to get through, or he just needs to hit the back of the net. Then all of a sudden, that muscle memory of coming back and confidence, you start to score more. The interesting one was when the ball got whipped in from the right-hand side. I think it was Phil Foden who chopped back and crossed one to him. I actually thought then that was a diving header. Do you remember?
Come across his body.
And he tried to go on his stronger left foot.
Yeah.
A confident player either takes it on his right foot, takes a chest, scores. He wanted it so desperately on his left foot because he knows that's his strongest foot. But what you've got to try and remember is as well is when you're out on the pitch at ground level, you've probably got half a second to make your mind up. When you sit at home and watch football, you go, you should have done this and you should have done that.
Yeah, of course.
You've got to go into like the Rolodexes of your finishes and go, which one am I going to choose? That one in half a second.
And
that's like, to a footballer, that's like a lifetime.
Yeah, but look, so against Everton, he scored two goals. The first one, that reaction on the corner, and the ball comes out with his right foot scores. And then the second one, the KDB ball, and then he goes barge into Brandt-Waite and then one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, the rustiness. And by the way, I think he scored, that's the only game he scored in the last four since coming back from injury.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe this is it now. Those two goals, the switch is back on, and then anyway.
Do you know if you try and simplify it, Jules, and you've got, say you've got like a battery pack on your arm, right? Low confidence, high confidence, right? When you score two goals against Everton, his battery level up there would have been super confident. Yeah. But when you go into a game and you miss a chance, you'd be surprised how literally you can drop down a bar.
So that early chance, after 12 minutes against Chelsea,
you could drop down a bar.
Yeah.
You go, still confident, I'll get another chance. Then you miss another one. And all of a sudden, for a footballer in a 90-minute game, your confidence can just erode
very
quickly. It's like when I used to play centre midfield, managers and players used to call it the Hollywood pass. So if you've given about 5-6 passes away, what you should do is make sure I pass from A to B and I go like that and I keep passing short and get the confidence levels up. Not bad players, but players that make bad decisions go for the Hollywood pass because they want to get their battery from low all the way to the top, 60-yard ball. Let's go. It ain't going to come off. Just keep going simple.
Yeah.
So once he gets one, that's the life and times of a foot, especially for a striker.
Hmm.
That's what they thrive on. He'll be back. We'll sit here today and we'll criticise him because we're having a chat about him. It's a debate. He'll score four against Brentford.
Yeah.
Or he'll score three, or he'll score two, and he'll be back to his best.
Nah, that's
how he works. That's how strikers work.
You said we need to give credit to Chelsea, of course, and the way they defended, especially in that second half. Malo Gusto, who I've seen since he was 15, not the best usually defending 1v1 against a really good, skillful winger like Jeremy Doku, but yeah. He did. Outstanding one-on-one performance, right?
Yeah. Brilliant. I think him and De Sassi, I thought, done really well. I think De Sassi's got quite a few flaws in his game.
Yeah, for sure.
He had a great game.
More than Colwill. I think Colwill has a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I think he makes better decisions. But when you have a game like De Sassi had where everything's hitting him, body on the line, it can look great. But the bigger picture is he needs a lot of work on his game in terms of where he is on the pitch, his decision making, not diving in, not getting caught, not ball watching. But you're right. I thought Gusto had a really good game. He's a good player when he goes forward. Reece James when he gets forward, gets an area. He's got good delivery. But that will give him a lot of confidence when you play up against Doku, because, you know, normally when you play against someone like that, it's very, very tricky. What you're taught to do is show him inside into traffic. But he actually quite fancied himself in a 1v1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quite very interesting. I really hope for Malo that, especially before facing Liverpool in the League Cup final on Sunday, probably against Luis Diaz, you would think that this would be very good as well for his confidence, and that his batteries are really, really high there. A word on the Sterling goal. Far too easy, we said, on that right-hand side. Oh. Palmer, Nico Jackson, the cross. I mean, I know you want to play a high line if you're City.
Yeah.
But if you don't, as we always say, if you don't put pressure on where the ball is on the pitch, then they're going to play through you like that.
Did you see the reaction of Kyle Walker when Raheem Sterling scored? So Kyle Walker got done for the Raheem Sterling bit of skill.
Well, he was going to buy a hot dog.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, but he knows the player inside out.
And so why did he dive in like that?
This is what I'm saying. So Kyle Walker, as soon as Raheem Sterling chopped inside and scored, Kyle Walker put his arms on the floor and he sort of laid back and he knew exactly what he'd done. The mistake he made was running too fast.
Yeah,
so when you sprint at Raheem Sterling, the only way Raheem Sterling scores, he's got no left foot.
Yeah.
He can't score past Edison on an angle. Hasn't got the power. Hasn't got the technique. So you 100%. Take your chances. You slow down.
Of course.
Walker, you make him shoot. He was either so desperate, caught up in the moment, thinking it's my ex-teammate, I've got to make sure I get across there, instead of slowing down and overcompensating, show him on his left, he doesn't score. The fact that he ran so quick, Sterling must have thought, what's he doing here? He's running so fast. If I chop inside, he can't sort his feet out.
Completely.
And then, so it's bad defending. But I looked at the player's reaction. And the good thing from Pep's point of view, or Kyle Walker, he knew the second he made the mistake where his mistake was.
Yeah.
It's not like you got to teach him.
But you expect that. But you saw Pep's reaction as well. He went mad.
It was a bad mistake. Don't get me wrong.
Everything from start to finish on that goal is bad.
It was terrible for Kyle Walker because he's better than that. And he knows.
Yeah, definitely.
You just 10 times out of 10, you shove Sterling on his left foot.
Yeah, 100%. I think the form of Walker is a worry. I think the form of Ruben Dias is a worry. I think Ederson in goal, I said it to you when we were preparing for the show, I think he's got the worst save ratio in all the big five leagues. This is 55%.
Yeah.
So one every two shot goes in. And I know he doesn't face many, so it's harsh because but still, you face two shots or four, two go in or one go in.
Yeah.
It's mad.
It's not quite...
There's something clearly not...
Again, it might be confidence, but it's not quite Claudio Bravo, is it, where every time City give up a chance...
You're not far.
Exactly. I don't know. I see a really good goalkeeper there. And the way Pep Pep sees it, he's more of a footballer than he's a goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it is a worry.
Yeah, it is a worry. And maybe
lack
John Stones...
Lack of clean sheets.
Yeah.
That's a worry.
Two in the last 14 games
in
the
league. That's a worry.
Two in 14.
Yeah. When you start getting to the business end of the Premier League and when you start getting to the business end of the Champions League, you don't want to have a record of lack of clean sheets.
Yeah.
Because you get against the big sides in the important games. They know how to manage games. So that's
for
a worry.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So at least in the good news for City... Rodri to the rescue again. I mean, what an incredible
player.
I know he was overlooked for the Ballon d'Or, for all those individual trophies, probably because he's a 6 and not a 10 or a 9. But one of the top 5 best players in the world, all positions together.
I love him. Do you know, over the years, and it was Pep's first signing, I thought, in terms of football IQ, Ilkay Gundogan was the most intelligent footballer I think City have had for a long time. Might be other brilliant footballers, but someone that can play nearly any position, Gundogan, amazing. Rodri's starting to be a player now where if you want him as a 6, he can control the game. Now he's starting to score goals, which is amazing, and big goals, important games, like the go-to man.
Yeah.
He is some player.
Incredible.
I mean, incredible football.
Really. Let's finish on something that maybe is not relevant, and you will tell me, because you can still win the title or win the Champions League or win the title in this case, even if you don't do well against the top five in the table in your league,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But City this season against the other team of the top five, they lost to Arsenal.
Yeah.
They drew at home to Liverpool. They lose away at Villa. They drew at home against Spurs 3-3.
Yeah.
So I'm not even talking the two Chelsea games, yeah, where they drew both home and away.
Yeah.
Is this something, is this relevant? Isn't it, when you were relevant. Playing, is there, no, if you don't do well against the team around you in the table, is that bad? Is it?
It is bad. I think it is relevant. I think it's a good point, because when you play down at the bottom, teams down at the bottom, and you have all the possession, they can sort of, they can try and startle you in a certain way where they can be defensive in their shape. When you come up against the best teams, they can do both.
Yeah.
So they can hit you on the counter, they can try and play. It'll be a worry for Pep, knowing, because you know how much of a perfectionist he is.
Yeah.
If your record against the top five or six clubs isn't great, that can be the difference from winning the league or losing the league.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how small the margins are.
And when you think as well that Arsenal and Liverpool have played each other twice already, so this is done.
And then they've got to go to Anfield, haven't they, City?
Yeah, exactly. Which means that Arsenal are seeing that game and say, okay, if they cancel each other out, we can take advantage and get points over one of them.
Well, this weekend just goes to show
City
are fallible. They can make mistakes.
Clearly. Finally, the goal difference, because Arsenal have been scoring for fun, and we will talk about that in the quick hits, but Arsenal and Liverpool now are 36, plus 36.
Yeah.
City are plus 31. So right now there's a 5-goal swing.
I mean, Arsenal have come from nowhere.
Yeah.
21 in 5 games.
It's incredible. More than ever in there. But we'll talk about them a little bit. But there's still plenty of games to go, and you can score, and City can still outscore Liverpool and Arsenal in goal difference and stuff. But when you know how important goal difference is, and City know it because they won the league in 2012 on goal difference.
Yeah.
This, the fact that now it swung back into Liverpool and Arsenal favour compared to City is also quite significant.
It is significant. I don't think, as we sit here now, I don't think Pep be too worried.
No.
I think when he looks at the league table,
there's too many games left.
With a game in hand, I don't think he'll be too worried.
Yeah, because if they beat Brentford on Wednesday 4-0, they all go on the same level of goal.
But at the same time, he'll have an eye on it.
Yeah.
Because of course he will, because he'll have an eye on how many Arsenal have scored, how many Liverpool have scored. And he'll be thinking, if it does go down to the wire, that's an extra point somewhere.
Yeah.
So, of course it's important, but I think it probably only matters, and it's not like it only matters with 5 games to go or 4 or 6. There's no real time frame on it.
Yeah, true.
But the closer it gets towards the end of the season, that's when you'll pay attention to it more.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules.
Right enough, City and Chelsea. What about some quickies, Don?
Let's do it.
Yes, Arsenal destroyed Burnley 5-0, Don. They have now scored 21 goals in the last 5 Premier League matches. This is the most ever in their Premier League history over a 5-game stretch.
Yeah.
What are you the most impressed with that team?
Do you know Kai Havertz, I thought, was amazing at the weekend?
Yeah.
I thought he played in a sort of more advanced role, quite lopsided, where he wasn't quite a midfield player, not quite a sort of false nine. He was terrific. I think it's that attitude. I think the quality players that have got, I mean, a quick line on Burnley, they were horrendous.
They were so bad.
I mean, so bad.
You were coming in on the game,
I was.
It
was so young, so naive, got one way of playing. In minute one, do you know what we're going to do? Try and outplay Arsenal. Good luck with that. But Arsenal were brilliant.
Yeah,
I mean, every
easy.
Time they went too forward, easy. They could have scored more. It looked like 10.
They could have scored 10, yeah.
But 21 and 5, the goal difference is amazing and their confidence is really high.
It looks, I mean, again, you were commenting on the game. I was only watching. But it looked like Burnley tried to play Havertz offside on the throw-in that led to the...
Right, Jules.
Do they even know the rules?
I don't know. Right, my lad is 7-year-old and you get taught at six, you can't be offside from a throw-in. These are professional footballers playing in the Premier League.
Look like he's Delcroix steps up.
Offside. Can't be offside from a throw-in. I mean, what are the Burnley lads teaching them? On Arsenal, I just thought it was easy for them, but I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, when they play like that, when they move the ball like that.
Trossard's such an underrated footballer.
Yeah, I agree.
Brilliant footballer. Martinelli, Saka's in the form of his life. He's got 6 and 4.
Yeah.
Rice signing just looks cheap.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, 105 million. Yeah, I thought they were brilliant.
I agree.
So Bayern Munich lost their third game in a row away to Bochum. What's going on there?
Ah, terrible crisis, Don. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Upamecano got sent off again. 2 games in a row in 2 different competitions, 2 red cards. I mean, you can't make it up. I'm not trying to defend Tuchel. I think he's mostly to blame. There's nothing tactically that I see just to change things around.
He came
out
afterwards and said the XG was good.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
He's lost against Bochum.
Yeah, exactly. But he's right in the sense that Harry Kane missed a 1-on-1 to go to 2-0 up with a lovely ball outside of the foot from Musiala. So yeah, they did miss chances, like they did miss chances against Lazio. So it's not all bad, but there's clearly a massive psychological issue.
Yeah.
Him and Kimmich, I don't know.
Doesn't look healthy, that relationship.
Definitely not.
Nor Goretzka.
Very toxic. Yeah, very toxic. I think there's a love relationship between Tuchel and the dressing room that, which is toxic.
Right.
I don't know where you go. I think they're going to keep him for now. They're 8 points behind Bayer Leverkusen, so the game
nine including goal difference.
Yeah, exactly. So the title is gone. There's no doubt. So you've got the Champions League left. But really, when you see them play, they're not good enough to.
At home at the Allianz, they should beat Lazio, but they should.
Yeah, exactly.
The form they're in probably
exactly.
won't.
Exactly. Incredible. Really incredible. So Thomas Tuchel is under more pressure than ever, Dan, we said. Mm-hmm. So I will ask you the same question that I asked Stuart Robson on Thursday after the second defeat in a row. If you were the president of Bayern Munich, what would you do now in February?
Fire him. I would, because how do you make a case for a manager that's not getting the best at a terrific group of players and might go out the Champions League? Lost against Bochum, the form's not great. We mentioned the individuals. If you haven't got, you know, the likes of Leon Goretzka, and you haven't got Joshua Kimmich, if you haven't got these experienced quality players on board, you wonder what the relationship and what the instructions are from the coaching staff to the players, because they're fantastic players.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Hansi Flick might be an answer short term.
Yeah, probably. I think that would be the idea. Yeah.
Bayern winning 11 in a row can't be 8 points, 9 on goal difference behind Leverkusen.
Who've never won the title, by the way.
That's
I think
saying.
We should remind
So people. Unless Tuchel is super confident and the board are super confident, he can turn it around. I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, I do. I think it might happen, yeah.
So Inter Milan face Atletico Madrid in the Champions League in the last 16 on Tuesday. They beat Salernitana, while Atleti also won. They're both in really good form, Jules.
Yeah, great form. I mean, this Inter Milan team, we've said it before, we love it. I think the way Inzaghi have that team. Salernitana are not a good team, they're bad. But they caused problems to Juventus, they caused problems to Milan this season.
Yeah.
They could play very defensive and they were blown apart in that first half. It was incredible from Inter, who I think are ready for whatever Atletico brings to them. You know, I think it would be a fascinating challenge matchup tactically between Inzaghi and Simeone. It's obviously the Simeone derby.
Yeah.
Playing against
It fascinates me in England.
And his club.
It fascinates me in England how the bookies have Arsenal, PSG and Bayern ahead of Inter.
Yeah, me too.
I watch Inter nearly every single week.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, they won the treble last season, Champions League finalists.
Yeah.
Set your watch on an hour. Inzaghi makes changes.
Yeah.
Changes his two wing-backs.
Yeah.
The form of Lautaro, the form of Thuram.
Incredible.
Incredible team.
I know. And I think they are ready. I think Atletico are ready. They won 5-0. They didn't play Griezmann. They rested a lot of people, like De Paul as well. So I think this one, the Champions League tie between Atletico and Inter Milan, is going to be
great
fascinating.
Game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, let's go more quickies, Don. Liverpool's at the top of the Premier League after they won at Brentford 4-1, Don. They also lost Jota, Jones and Darwin, though, in that game.
Yeah, I think Darwin's just a precautionary. I think they're not taking any chances with the game against Luton midweek. I don't think he'll start. I think Gakpo will start, but they're probably resting for the cup final. I think the Jota one was...
It looked bad.
Ugly one to watch. I think Norgaard sort of landed on him 15, 16 stone, wherever he is. He landed on his medial. Curtis Jones took a tap on the ankle, so that's a worry how he limped off. But I think he's quite durable, Curtis Jones. But it was a great win.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. 12:30 kickoff. Jurgen Klopp's not like them this season to go there and win 4-1.
With Salah coming back with that kind of form already, man. The guy's been injured for a month. He comes back like that.
Ridiculous. I mean, psychologically.
He's a freak of nature.
I knew he wouldn't play, you know. I had a feeling. Yeah. I had a feeling Klopp would have him on the bench, readying him to come off the bench.
Yeah.
What a weapon to have come off the
bench.
So, fantastic win.
Incredible.
Kylian Mbappe has a
Oh,
you're crying, Jules.
Oh, my boy.
You're crying. He's told his teammates.
Yeah.
What's he said?
We were together on Thursday before the Europa League when the message arrived. Then that's when he told the club. Then he told the players before the game and not on Saturday where he was slightly rested. So he was on the bench, came on, scored. This is it. You know, the more... Every step. So when... First, I was told that he's made it man up, now he's going to go. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then there's the next step is when he announced it to the club, the players. So we go, oh my God. Every time it seems like someone in my family has passed away or something.
I'm joking here. I'm obviously joking. But the only thing you can cling on to, he fails a medical.
You know, I want him to be happy, so I want him to go if he wants to go.
He's going to be amazing, isn't he?
Oh, imagine Ballon him, doors. Vinny, Bellingham together. It's just
it's young Galacticos again.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's just incredible. It was just, it was 7 years, the best player in the world for me. So, yeah, it's sad, but the process is going to start now. There's negotiation between him and Real Madrid, and at some point they will have an agreement. Just not yet. Nothing is signed yet. Nothing is agreed yet as of Monday morning, but it will happen eventually, and then so, PSG will move on. Whether they sign Osimhen, Bruno Guimaraes, they're like Bernardo Silva. Rashford has been linked.
So you and my boy, Dougie, who's seven, both love Kylian.
I know,
he's
going to
be in tears.
Friend. Yeah, of course, love him. But anyway, we still support him, you know, wherever he goes. Juventus managed to drop more points this weekend, Don.
Yeah.
Away at Verona this time.
Yeah, they weren't great. They haven't been great for a long time, even though their record's been quite good. Inter are by far the more superior team. Got the best
Without
squad.
Doubt.
They're 9 clear. There's no chance Juve win the Scudetto from here. I think Allegri's done quite well in terms of having a young team.
Yeah.
The Chiesa one's a difficult player to try and manage because coming back from long-term injuries, he can't quite play every single game. He has to try and manage his minutes. Vlahovic is sort of in and out with his form. So there's no real surprise that Juve, if they finish second, I think there's a race on between them and Milan who finished second and third.
Yeah, that's the...
But it's no real shock to me.
And if you haven't seen the Verona first goal, it's... incredible. You have to check it out. It's incredible. Left foot volley. Just sensational.
So Real Madrid may be getting ready to recruit Kylian, but on Sunday they were disappointing, Jules.
Yeah, they went to Rayo Vallecano, who are the only team this season to have kept a clean sheet against Real Madrid. They drew 0-0 at the Bernabeu in the reverse fixture. This time they drew 1-1. Real Madrid took the lead after 4 minutes, and you think, okay, Jose Lu scored, this is it now. It would be like business as usual, they're going to manage the game. And yeah, they didn't at all. I was a bit disappointed. Maybe on the Champions League week like that, you go to Leipzig, it's a tough game already. You win, you'll be lucky, but it's a tough game. There's no Bellingham still.
Yeah.
Rodrigo was on the bench. They still don't have much, you know, many defenders, but they lost Camavinga through injury.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Carvajal on the red card.
Yes. Got a few ACLs,
A few
injuries at
the
back.
Or Camavinga got a yellow card, which means he'll be suspended for the next game, something like that. So they will be without Camavinga and Carvajal for the next game. So there's a few issues there and there for Carlo, but
they'll find a way.
Yeah, and they didn't lose even. So, you know, it's pretty good. And what about Manchester United and Rasmus Højlund, Don? Because he scored two more goals, they won another game. And that second goal, there was a bit of a debate between you and I if he meant that kind of chest.
He meant it.
Okay, I believe you.
They're in good form. Four wins on the spin in the Premier League. I'm still torn.
Are you on board? Yeah, I was going to say, are you convinced or not?
No, I'm not convinced. Not
yet.
No, not yet. It took Erik ten Hag an awful long time to figure out that Antony was never the answer.
Yeah.
And when you looked at the relationship and the lack of service to Rasmus Højlund throughout the season, it was blatantly obvious. You keep Rashford on the left-hand side, you take Garnacho away from that position, and you put him on the right side. I mean, that is like staggeringly obvious.
Yeah.
Because then the front man's going to get more service.
Yeah.
So even though Rashford on the left side, dropping in on his right, is he's not going to get many assists to Højlund just because of the dynamic of chopping inside. But when you've got Garnacho, he can come inside, but more importantly, get to the byline, he's going to put crosses in. I think he meant the second goal. I think it was very instinctive.
Yeah.
As a player, when you're in that position, it's amazing how at the start of the season, he wouldn't have been in that position, or he wouldn't have finished it. Just four.
Yeah, for sure.
That little bit of luck. But I think once the ball got shanked to him from Garnacho, he instinctively knew where he was. He's chested it towards goal. That's when you're relying like on a tiny bit of luck, whether it goes in or not.
Yeah.
But credit him, he's in amazing form. And listen, we've all seen him at Atalanta for quite a few years. He's a terrific young player.
Yeah.
He just needs a little bit of time. You go into Man United, it's not easy. You have service. It makes his job a lot more easier.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think they're on the right track, put it this way, but I'm not convinced.
Definitely.
Leverkusen are absolutely flying.
Incredible.
I mean, they've equaled Bayern's record of 32 games unbeaten in a row. There's some season they're having.
Yeah, they won away at Heidenheim, who are promoted, they're not a very good team. They're not a bad team either. They're just very solid. And I don't think Leverkusen had to play well. They just did the job.
They're going to win the league, right?
I mean, like we said earlier, they're 8 points clear, 9 if you count the goal difference, which is much better than Bayern. You know, their nickname is Leverkusen because they've never won the league. Every time they could have, they bottled it.
Yeah.
I don't think this time they could blow a 9-point lead at this stage of the season. They're just too good.
Yeah.
And everything is going their way. They have a bit of luck when they need to. They play great when they have to. They've got key players like Florian Wirtz.
Yeah.
Or the two wing-backs. I mean, Frimpong scored again. Grimaldo and Frimpong have been the best players in Europe maybe this season. It's incredible.
Defensively against Bayern,
they
were incredible.
They were so good. And again, controlling spaces. Yeah. We said that, and against Bayern they did that so well.
Yeah.
City Football Group have bought a new club. So
another one?
Yeah, another one. Obviously, they own Manchester City.
What's that, 14?
That's 14 if you count City. This time in Turkey with Başakşehir, who won the title in 2020. What's your opinion? Without going into detail about what Man City and the City Group are doing, but you personally, as a former player...
Yeah. I don't know, I think in my mind's eye, 14 seems a bit extreme. I don't know,
Maybe a bit many.
Three, five tops? I mean, it depends on what the scenario is. I mean, I never felt comfortable with the Watford-Udinese under the pot, so I never really felt that was working, just players going back and forth. To have 14 clubs, I admire what they're trying to do, but it seems... At some point, it could be really complicated.
Yeah, maybe.
So, funny one. Monza against Milan. You're not happy with Pioli's tactics, maybe.
Listen, it was a great derby. It finished 4-2 to Monza. The
great
first
win.
Ever victory against the neighbours.
Berlusconi derby.
Berlusconi derby, of course. Or Maldini derby, because Daniele, who is the son of Paolo, the grandson of Cesare, gave the assist on the winning goal for Monza. So, a lot of cultural heritage in there. I want to blame Pioli because, and we slightly disagree on this, but he made a lot of changes. He played the B team, let's say.
Yeah.
So Pulisic on the bench, Giroud on the bench, Leao on the bench, Kier on the bench, Reinders on the bench. And then before he knows it, they're 2-0 down.
Down to 10 men.
Yeah, down to 10 men when Jovic got sent off at the start of the second half. When they won 3-0 their first leg of the Europa League, you don't need to rest people the second leg.
So you know Ren inside out. Are you saying that tie is completely over?
Trust me, it's over.
What if Ren score early?
No.
No,
it's not.
They're not going to do
it. He should have played his strongest team. Tottenham are struggling a little bit at the moment. They lost at the weekend at home against Wolves.
Only 2 wins in 6. Do you know I think this was always going to happen, Jules?
Did you?
I did. Not in terms of they're going to be having a bad run. I just think the way Postecoglou plays football.
Yeah.
I said it from probably match week 2 or 3 in. Tottenham are going to win some games 4-3. And they're going to lose some games 4-3.
Yeah.
Because he's got one way of playing.
Yeah.
But as a Tottenham fan, don't be too down on him. You know, you've had Antonio Conte, you've had Jose Mourinho, boring football. Now you've got like the Kevin Keegan Newcastle entertainers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just sort of embrace it a little bit. Knowing that you're not Man City at the minute, and I'm not being patronising, it's not a dig, but they're getting entertained every single week.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the game was great and it could have went either way at 1-1.
That's very true.
I fancied Spurs the way they score goals late on to go on and win the game.
The only issue I would say, slightly on this, I agree with everything, but they clearly have issues on set pieces.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like And I mean, maybe they work really hard at training, and for now we don't see the rewards of it on the pitch. But it looks like they're still very vulnerable.
There was a funny one happened from the João Gomes header.
Yeah.
And I only seen it again last night for the first time. When Son was supposed to mark it, Max Kilman, right? Max Kilman pulled his arm.
Yeah, but you do those blocks and you do the...
I know, but it was quite cute.
Yeah.
By the way, mention to them. Gary O'Neill's men.
Great job.
Neto is some player. Yeah, they are some team. But yeah, slight worry, but don't be too down if you're a Tottenham fan. Another game, another narrow escape for Barca, Jules.
Yeah, Don. They won it this time in the 96th minute. A penalty from Lewandowski. The first one was saved.
Yeah.
They had it replayed because the keeper was off his line slightly. And Lewandowski scored the second one. He also scored the first goal, which was a lovely... First touch is great, finish is great, which shows that even if he's not as good as he used to be, and he's 35, there's some move that you don't forget. You mentioned the memory earlier.
Muscle memory, yeah.
Muscle memory. I mean, that first touch, he must have done it a million times between training and games, and he's still out. It was brilliant. But they didn't have much margin away at Celta, and Celta are not very good.
Yeah.
So good for them to have won it, of course. Especially with Real Madrid dropping points.
It must be tricky for the players when the manager announced that he's leaving.
Of course. Even for Xavi himself, I think it's a bit tricky, you know? Massive game, obviously, for them against Napoli. I don't know where you stand on the Napoli-Barca Champions League tie. It looks very much 50-50. None of those two teams are very good right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Barca slightly better than Napoli. At least they win games.
Yeah. If this was last season, I'd fancy Napoli big time.
100%.
But the Mazzarri, they're struggling.
I think it could be quite fun because...
Yeah. Well, both... Well...
And you just don't know which way... You know, like, what we're going to see.
Yeah, well, certainly from a Napoli angle, they're very attacking.
Yeah.
Kvaratskhelia, Osimhen, if he's fit, Politano off the right-hand side. Good midfield. So, yeah, I'd fancy Napoli, but I don't say that with any confidence. I think it's a close game.
I agree. Roy Hodgson, who are we thinking a lot of, he's feeling better and recovering in hospital after...
You send him my best.
Yeah, falling ill. And Crystal Palace... Should announce, we're thinking, the arrival of Oliver Glasner very soon, Don. But let's talk about Roy, because, I mean, great football man.
I've got utmost
respect. Very sad news when we saw that he was falling in.
Yeah, man, that I don't feel as though you can ever be down on Roy.
Yeah.
The jobs that he's had, I think 23 club jobs, a couple of international jobs, Switzerland, England along the way. Well respected in the game. Never full of any waffle after a game. He always just tells you exactly how it is.
Yeah.
We wish him all the best. I think it's very sensitive from a Palace angle.
Of course.
You know, if you're Steve Parrish or Mark Bright, you don't really want to be the man that sacks Roy Hodgson and then finishes his career.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, I'd like to have got it to the end of the season where he was out of contract. And then, obviously, you know, you either get him upstairs or he retires sort of gracefully. So I think at this point, talking about Glasner and talking about different things at Palace, it's all about sending Roy our best
100%.
Wishes. 100%. So Dortmund are doing Dortmund things. What's happened now?
I mean, I think probably every week we say it.
What have they done now?
So this is, if you want to, like, sum up their season, this is it, this Wolfsburg game.
Yeah.
First half, great.
Yeah.
They score early, they look good, the passing is sharp, everybody is good. You're thinking, wow, this team is good, you know, and they're playing the Champions League against PSV Eindhoven this week as well. Second half, I don't know, it's all their twin brothers coming on the pitch from half. I promise you, I mean, you have twins, you know what I mean. So unreal.
I'm playing Dougie in the first game, then the second half, they're filling up.
Yeah. And then they draw 3-3. So they won it up at half-time. And they look so good. And then the second half, they draw 1-1. Completely different team. Different performance. No energy.
Is that players or manager, Dragon?
I don't know. It has to be Terzic. It has to be the manager at some point. Who can't just like... Because the consistency... I mean, he said it himself.
I mean, can you remember the last day of the season?
Yeah.
When they absolutely bottled it when Bayern won the league.
I still think they have that scar.
I think so.
Way open
scar
somewhere.
Tissue there.
Massive.
100%.
And I just don't know. I mean, even himself saying like, I don't understand why we can't be consistent. I'm sorry, my friend, but you're the manager. You should know. And if you don't know, it's because you're the problem. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was, again, so Dortmund-esque to see that performance against Wolfsburg. Don, Aston Villa back to winning ways after two losses in a row in the league and in the cup. Yeah. Ollie Watkins was too strong for the Fulham defence.
One of his goals. I mean, we talk in football about if you're a midfield player playing with a striker, you play on opposites.
Yeah.
And what that means is if Ollie Watkins comes short, I know he doesn't want it short. He wants it in behind. Come short, spun in behind, it's a D-up. Great run, great centre-forward play. And they've dropped a few points lately. I think they dropped points Newcastle obviously beat them. They dropped points against Everton, Sheffield United in games that they feel they should have won.
Yeah, they lost against United last
week. Yeah, they've got one or two injuries. Konza's out, Tyrone Mings out for the season. Kamara's done his ACL.
Yeah, that's bad.
So in this game, they had to respond. Fulham weren't great. They gifted up a couple of very easy goals, one from a throw-in. But Watkins is the key.
It's great, isn't
it? I think you can cover with the likes of Tielemans, who's a good player.
Yeah.
They've got Douglas Luiz, a good player, so they can cover Kamara. But if they lose Watkins...
You know what's quite funny, in a way, is that Haaland doesn't score this weekend, right?
Yeah.
But pretty much every other striker in the league. So Darwin.
Yeah.
Even Munoz at Fulham.
Yeah.
Watkins, Tony, Solanke.
Yeah.
Every other nine is scoring a weekend where Erling Haaland, the best of all of them, is not scoring.
All their number nines would love to be Erling Haaland.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Jules, what's going on with Marseille?
They lost again, Don, on Sunday night against Brest. It's 10 games in a row now without a win. So, walking in this morning here to the studio, I thought, they've got Shakhtar on Thursday night in the Europa League playoff. They drew 2-2 in the first leg away. So it's at home. Surely they can't sack him before that game. And guess what? We just got a message while we were on air earlier that Gattuso got sacked. He's not going to be on the bench. I don't know. There's a lot of things I like about Gattuso. I like the personality. I like the relationship, the management that he has with his players. I think he really loves his teams, his boys.
Yeah.
But he hasn't just been good enough. And I think maybe the fact that the recruitment in January was not great didn't help him. And he's got a lot of injuries. But overall, you're just going to get judge on your results, and the results.
You've got to have more strings to your bow than just being passionate.
Yeah, man.
You've got to have tactics in the
game. They haven't won since November, I think, or something like that. It's ridiculous. So goodbye, Reno. Napoli were not very good again this weekend against Genoa. And if you were looking for Victor Osimhen, Don, he was in the stands.
I mean, fit.
Fit, apparently. Well, according to the club, probably fit enough to be on the bench.
Yeah.
According to him, not fit.
Unless he was feeling something in terms of fatigue from the AFCON.
Yeah, maybe.
Trying to read something into it, or maybe the conversation is rest me or from the management, rest him for the game against Barca. Still a worry though, because you want him fit. If he tells you he just doesn't fancy it for whatever reason, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Napoli fan, you want that relationship to end at the end of the season quite healthy.
Yeah, well,
because
I
love
him. I agree.
You know how much I think he's unbelievable. And with him in the Napoli team, they're completely different. He sets the tone and closes it down. He's great in the air. He's brave. He holds it on his chest. He can jump like Tino Asprey used to do, 10 foot in the air. They're a different side when Politano's playing and Kvaratskhelia. And I think it's a great shame if it doesn't end healthy.
Or if his attitude is not great or something like that.
So they need him. If they've got any chance of going deep and going through against Barca, they need Osimhen. Without him, they don't really stand a chance. Jules are not good enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Jordan Henderson was captain at Ajax this weekend.
Yeah, for the first time, because Berghuis and Bergwijn were both out. So they gave him you know, I'm not his biggest fan.
Yeah.
Right? I like the leader that he is and that he's always been in terms of football itself. I'm not too keen. I was less even keen when I saw Ajax welcoming him like if he was...
So you're not happy that he sold like a gazillion shirts?
They welcomed him like if he was, I don't know, Maradona mixed with Cruyff, Mbappe and Haaland. I was like, come on, this is Jordan Henderson, you know, like, come on. Well, the only thing I would say, and I don't want to be too harsh, because Nathan Manua, who's his very good friend, then he's going to hate me.
That's all right.
Since he arrived,
Nathan's not watching.
This was his fourth game, I think.
Yeah.
They still haven't won a single game. They drew again this weekend.
You can't put it all on him.
No, I'm just saying.
Scandalous.
I'm not putting it on that on anyone. I'm just saying, before he arrived...
Scandalous.
Before he arrived, they were winning. Since he's dead, they haven't won a single game. I think they've got other issues. But I would have liked him to win as a captain for the first time. They didn't. They got pegged back again in the 90th minute. They concede those late goals quite often. So it was a shame. So I hope, to finish this quick hit.
Come on, be positive.
Well,
be positive.
Jordan, I know you're watching or listening. I hope that next weekend you finally win your first game. Or even they play in the Europa League. Because even in the Europa League, by the way, they still haven't won with him. So listen, you're going to finally win, I promise you. Dan Ashworth has told Newcastle, the sporting director of Newcastle, has told Newcastle that he wanted to go to Manchester United, which we kind of expected, Don. He's been put on gardening leave until the two clubs find an agreement. If you were Sir Jim Ratcliffe and in charge at United, how much would you pay for Dan Ashworth?
I don't know. I find it really weird.
It is weird. I don't think any other sporting director before has been kind of signed.
Call me naive, Jules, right? But I think sporting director role is the easiest role. The easiest job. It is, man.
But too many transfers are wrong, so it can't be that easy. But otherwise,
but they're no good. Me and you watch loads of football. All you have to do if you're a sporting director, right? You say to the manager, what position do you want? And he goes, left back. Yeah. You watch enough football to find the best left backs.
Yeah.
You've got a data team underneath you who can hit you with a million stats. How hard can this job be? Seriously, if you know football, how hard can it be?
I mean,
put a number on it, 10 million.
10, you let him go. Would you go higher?
I mean, you'd want as much as you can if you're Newcastle, don't get me wrong. Higher, the more the merrier, but Newcastle fans are built differently. Newcastle fans will say, if you don't want to be at Newcastle, where it's a privilege to play here, to coach here, be a sporting director here, off you pop.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because they'll get another one, or they'll trust whoever's going to be in charge in the future.
Eddie Howe, so yeah, I think he'll probably be around the 10 million. I think he's great, Dan Ashworth, and I think United make a good signing. For Newcastle, you've probably got it to lose him, but you've made 10 million.
Let's mean you got to college, we'll be sporting directors.
Right, well, if Eddie Howe is looking for somebody, you know...
You know your French football. We know our European football.
Exactly.
I'm on Serie A inside.
Don and Jude at Newcastle, that'd be perfect.
Imagine.
More seriously, Eddie Howe, and he said it himself in his press conference before the game against Bournemouth, worried that everything that Dan Ashworth knows about
this
what Newcastle have been working on for the last, well, since he arrived at the club, that he will take that with him to United.
And rightly so, because, you know, he's obviously working behind the scenes, Dan Ashworth, on potential young players, potential incoming talent that he scouted, and all that. As I mentioned, the analysis team and the data guys have got a profile of players that Newcastle probably would have wanted to have signed either this summer or younger players to, you know, try and be good in a few years' time.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now he's going to take that intel, he's going to give that information all to Man United. I even think putting him on garden leave doesn't really matter, because you can still make a phone call.
Yeah, true.
You can still tell Man United what players Newcastle are looking at.
Yeah,
so it's a bit messy. So to answer your question, I just think if you're Newcastle, get as much money as you can.
Yeah,
that solves the problem.
I agree.
We've got a new WSL attendance record on Saturday, Jules, and you were there to see it.
Yeah, the Emirates, Donny, it was lovely, really lovely.
How many?
Arsenal against Manchester United, 60,160.
Amazing.
Yeah, lovely. That was the ticket sold. There was a few empty seats there and there, but still, the atmosphere was great. It was a great game as well. Arsenal won 3-1. Really competitive, some good goals, some not so good goals, but overall, it was a great afternoon. My little girl was a mascot as well, bless her. I know, she loved it. So it was all good, but I just think, again, for the way the WSL and women's football in general is developing, structuring, getting better, stronger.
You can't argue with those numbers.
More and more popular, exactly. This was great. So what a wonderful and historical afternoon in a way. So I was glad to be there. Don, that's all we have time for today, my friend. Thank you so much for coming. Really, it was an absolute pleasure to have you with me for this edition of the Gab and Jules Show. Please come back very soon.
Promise.
In the meantime, we will come back on Monday with Gab. Gab will finally be back from his long holidays. We've got the League Cup final we mentioned. There's plenty of big games all around Europe. In the meantime, as Gab always say, love the game, love your neighbour, love yourself, or something like that.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjewels now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjewels.